Good morning, everyone. So we're looking at the moment at the subject of a kingdom. What does it look like? And we've had many practical sermons encouraging us to do practical things. But today I want to address our thinking. I want to go to the scriptures. I want to show you that we are, in fact, a kingdom of kings, that God has created us to rule and reign on the earth. God has created us to shine with his glory and to bring that kingdom into every sphere of work, wherever of life, wherever we are, wherever we're put, whatever we're given to do. So my main scripture for today is from Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It's in the Amplified Version. And this is what it says. It'll be up, all the scriptures will be up on the screen, so you don't need to turn to them. You're very welcome to if you want to, but they'll be up on the screen. For if, because of one man's trespass, lapse, offence, death reigned through that one, much more, surely, will those who receive God's overflowing, unmerited favour and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One. Awesome text. And I've checked out the Greek. And that word for reign in life is a really good translation because it encapsulates being kings, reign as kings in life. It's all about the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us so much. Lord, you have made us to be kings and rule on this earth. And Lord, I pray that as I speak this morning, our thinking will change and we'll come to see that, Lord, you have given us authority and power over all the acts of the enemy, and you have anointed us to bring your kingdom on this earth. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that Holy Spirit, you will come and you will encourage each person sitting here this morning, that they will know who they are and that nothing will ever shake that again in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them a mandate to rule the earth. Genesis 1 says, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth. So God created man in his own image. Awesome! In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. I've highlighted there complete authority and dominion. Dominion is an interesting word, very closely related to kingdom, because kingdom is the king's domain, the area, the territory where the king rules and reigns and where he has sovereignty and control. And so God gave Adam and Eve the Garden of Eden to reign over. And his thoughts were that as they produced children, those children would extend the boundaries of that Garden of Eden until the whole earth was filled with the beauty and the glory of that place that he had given them. And it was an awesome plan. It was really great. He gave them everything they needed to do this. Can you imagine them? Absolutely dressed in God's glory, covered in God's glory, because they looked just like him. They sounded like him. They did things like him. They were so like God. Psalm 8, verses 4 to 6 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of earth-born man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Great. Good news. But we all kind of know that it didn't just flow the way that God had really wanted it to. Adam and Eve were deceived, and they let go of all that God had given them and handed it over to the enemy, who came to steal, kill, and destroy. And John 5:19 says, "So now the whole world is under the control of the evil one." I find it interesting to think about what made man and woman fall. What was it? What was it that serpent said to them that caused them to lay down the truth about who they were? The last bit, he said, "If you eat of this tree, you will become just like God." Well, they were. They were just like God. The enemy lied. And I'll tell you today that the thing we don't realize is that we are just like God and we don't know it. We don't understand that God, I'm going to go through this, but he has restored to us the full likeness and image of God by sending Jesus, whose life and death sorted that enemy out once and for all. So let's look. We need to know who we are. Paul writes, "Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you?" I bet you don't. Half the time I just feel so ordinary, so absolutely ordinary, but that's not what the Bible's telling me. It's telling me I'm a king in God's kingdom. God had this plan to get back the power and authority that he had given to man. He had a plan to restore that mandate to rule the earth back to them. And so Jesus came. God sent his own son to redeem this world, to redeem the whole world, to buy it back out of the hands of the enemy. And so Jesus came preaching. What did he preach? He preached the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. Actually, Jesus didn't preach a whole lot about when you die, you'll go to heaven. Search the scriptures and find out. On one occasion we get, he talks to Nicodemus one-to-one and says, if you want to enter the kingdom, you need to be born again. But most of the time, when he was out amongst everyone else, he preached the kingdom. And it says, after John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news." Jesus said that's why he had come. He had come to preach the kingdom, to bring the kingdom in. I must preach the good news of the kingdom to the other towns also, because that's why I was sent. That's why he came. What did preaching the good news of the kingdom look like? Well, it was awesome. Demons were cast out of people. Luke 11:20, Jesus says, "If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you." There was this direct association between getting rid of demons and the kingdom being there. In Mark's gospel, the first account of Jesus doing anything was deliverance. And the people said at the end, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even gives orders to the evil spirits and they obey him." They knew. They got the message. This is kingdom, people being set free. And God wants all of us to be set free from whatever it is that has oppressed us. He wants us free of fear. He wants us free to be the person that God made us to be. He wants us free of rejection. He has chosen you. He has chosen you out of all the people of the earth to be his precious possession. We are his inheritance. You need to know who you are. You need to know how special you are to God, that he wants to release us from whatever holds us back from being who God has made us to be. What else? People were forgiven. Even very naughty people were forgiven. There was a woman who came to Jesus and she was crying and she making a terrible mess and a scene. And it was just a bit yucky, a bit embarrassing, awkward when she came in. But Jesus just said to her, your sins are forgiven. Even naughty people, very naughty people. You know, God loves people. And it doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what kind of mess you've got yourself into, God wants to forgive you, and he's made it possible. He has made it possible for you to be not just forgiven, but released from all of that mess. People were healed. In Matthew 8, 16 to 17, this was just seen as a sign of a fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament, because when John the Baptist was in prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus and he said, are you really the one who was to come? And Jesus didn't send him back half the Old Testament underlined with, you know, this is all the scriptures about me, but he just said, go and tell John what you see and what you hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. All the things that God, which symbolized this Messiah coming, was all there. He was to bring complete healing. Even dead people were raised to life. How crazy is that? Jesus raised three people. Lazarus, who'd been in the tomb for a long time, 4 or 5 days. Jairus' daughter, little girl. The widow of Nain's son. He didn't even look for her faith in that. He just used his own. Just raised that person out of the compassion of his heart, because that was her hope. That son that she had in that coffin, he was her hope. He was all she had left. And Jesus raised him from the dead. Such amazing things that happen. And there were miracles, which showed that Jesus had dominion over nature, over weather. Do you remember? He just told this storm, that's enough, no more. And the storm stopped. He walked on water. Duh. I always think, why did he do that? He turns water into wine. He feeds 5,000 people with like this tiny amount of bread and fish that you could imagine. 5,000, and on another occasion, 4,000. He was doing things that just blew people's mind. What did the kingdom look like? It looked like every place that Satan had taken ground, Jesus took it back. Purposefully, where it was sickness, he healed. Where there was darkness, he brought light. Where there was lack, he brought plenty. Where there was sadness, he brought comfort. Where there was anything bad, Jesus brought good. And he said this about himself. He said, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life. He's not talking about just dying and going to heaven. Have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. What an awesome God. And John wrote that the reason the Son of God was made manifest, visible, was to undo, loosen, destroy, dissolve the works the devil has done. What a great God that we have. And as he was going around, he had this group of 12 following him. And he was gobsmacked about. They were just like, this is just amazing, you know? We're following Jesus and we're seeing all this stuff happen. This is awesome. But then the day came and Jesus said, look, you go and do it. You go and do it. And Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them power. Power, dominion, possibly. Power and authority over unclean spirits to drive them out, to cure all kinds of diseases and sicknesses, weaknesses and infirmity. And he told them to go and preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were to do all the things that he did. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. And they found they could. Because they had seen it. Because they started to believe that if Jesus had given them power and authority, they could do it. Later on, he sends a whole nother bunch of them out. 72 this time. Are you getting the message? We're meant to be passing this on, passing it on, passing it on. And he gave them the same instruction, and they came back absolutely blown away with what they saw and what had been going on. And it says, they come to Jesus and say, it works. It really works. Even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I can just imagine him smiling, this big beam. And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means or in any way harm you. He gave it to them, giving the authority, giving the power back, and all of that before Jesus had actually paid the price on the cross for our freedom. On the cross, Jesus completely defeated the powers of darkness, and he legally won back for us dominion that we had lost in the fall. I don't know why you're so quiet. I'm so excited. It's just like, woohoo! Colossians 2 says, he forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us, that law that they could never live up to. Even if they tried really, really hard to be good, it was never quite good enough. He cancelled that out and he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, that's all the demony things that are around trying to stop things happening, stop God's kingdom being on earth, having disarmed them, took their weapons away, he made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them by the cross. I am so excited about our God because he is just so amazing. We made such a mess of things. You think he just washes his hands and say, goodness me, why did I ever give them that dominion over the earth in the first place? But no, he gives us another chance. He says, you're all I've got. I've made you in my image. I have given you the glory. I have given you the power. I have given you the authority. Now go. Go and be amazing somewhere. Go and get some ground back from the enemy. Rise up and be all that God has made you to be. And so the glory has been restored to us, which we lost in the fall. And Paul could write that now we have Christ, the anointed one, in us, and he is our hope of glory. You are in him, made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. It's hard to say, especially when you're excited. Do we really understand that we have God in us? Do we really understand that we have his authority, that we have access to his power? And so we come back to that verse in Romans 5:17, where we started. that he has put us into the place where we can again reign as kings in this life. In this life. God wants us to bring his kingdom on this earth, and he has given us his Holy Spirit in us so we can actually do that. And he said to Joshua many years before, you can have every place you put your foot, every place you set your foot, I have given to you. Every place. Do you realize when you go shopping? Do you realize when you go to work, when you drive your car, when you're around the place? God is giving you territory. Let's just be more sensitive to that. Let's just be more open to that. How can we bring a change? How can we bring that amazing light that Jesus brought to the earth? How can we bring it everywhere that we go? It's up to us to take this territory, look back from the enemy. Jesus told us specifically to pray for his kingdom to come on the earth in that amazing prayer that he gave us. He said he wanted his will done here on earth. We're not just saved so we can go to heaven and have a nice time when we die. Jesus preached the kingdom coming to earth and changing earth to look like heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no fear in heaven. There's no anxiety. There's no lack. Heaven is an amazing place. And, you know, our theme of our church is, you know, for the Skylark, connecting heaven and earth. And that's very much on our hearts, that we want to see this connection make place. We want to bring heaven down to wherever we are. May God help us to do so. Sometimes the church has represented the kingdom as being only for a long way off in the future when Jesus comes back to rule the earth. And it will in its fullness. But if we look at the scripture, it's so clear from Jesus' teaching that the kingdom of God is already accessible to us. Matthew, you see the references, they all say that the kingdom is near. And Jesus, as we've already looked at, said if he casts out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has already come among you. And it's around, and then also Luke 17:21 says, behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts and among you, surrounding you. It's not just out there somewhere, it's here, right with us. At the beginning, I quoted from Psalm 8. And in Hebrews chapter 2, the author of Hebrews, whoever that was, quoted that same scripture, Psalm 8. And it comes to the end and he says, for you have put everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to man, he left nothing outside of man's control. But then he goes on to say, somewhat sadly, I feel, somewhat disappointedly, yet at present, we do not yet see all things subjected to him. We don't see it yet. Why not? Because we haven't grasped who we really are. And I'm just praying this morning that me and you, you know, I'm speaking to myself as much as to you this morning, that we get a fresh revelation of what God has put us on the earth to do. So many people are wandering around on earth. Why are we here? What's the point of life? What is the point of our lives? They don't know. We're meant to be bringing heaven here. We're meant to be making a difference. In the Old Testament, only two people were given an anointing. Kings were given an anointing, and priests were given an anointing. Anointing is the empowering of God to do something. And they could only have one or the other. They couldn't have both. And there was a time where a couple of kings actually took on priestly roles and got into trouble for it. The first one was Saul, and he lost his kingdom because he offered a sacrifice, and he wasn't anointed to do that. He wasn't empowered. He wasn't given the authority to do that by his anointing. And the other was King Uzziah, and he went in the temple to burn incense. And the priest said, you can't do that. You're a king. You can't do that. It's only priests. And he ended up shouting at them. Didn't like being told off. He was used to kings getting their own way and doing their own thing. And leprosy broke out on him. And he had to live separately for the rest of his life because he'd stepped over that. And that kingship was only available to male Jews. And priesthood was only available to male Jews. But you know what God has done? He has made us a kingdom of priests. We are both. We're not specially born Jews. Half of us here aren't men. We wouldn't have had a hope. But God has given us anointing to be both priest and king. And he wants us to rule on the earth through our priesthood, through our relationship with God, that we would know what God is telling us to do. We would know what he wants to do in our lives. And so it's as we spend time privately with God that we get a vision for where does God want me to take territory? Where does he want me to rule in this world? And in that sense, we have a double anointing. We have a double anointing. Revelation 5:10 says, and you have made them a kingdom, royal race, and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth. Everything that we lost at the fall has been restored to us. Our relationship with God is restored to us. God wants us to be like Adam and Eve, reigning and ruling through a really close relationship with him. So, what are we to do about the kingdom? God has given us some very clear instructions in his word. And he says, seek first the kingdom. Seek it first. Make it a priority in your life to spend time with God so that you can then go out and make a difference somewhere. Seek first the kingdom. Seek the king as well. Yeah? Don't just seek to be powerful. Seek the king. The king in his glory and his majesty. We are under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Nothing's going to happen in our lives unless we stay connected to him. Unless we stay in that place where we know what the main king, the top king, the God who made this universe, the God who gave us the authority. We need to know what he wants us to do with our lives. And it says we're to preach it as well. That's exactly what God said to his disciples as he sent them out. Preach the kingdom. As you go, preach the kingdom. So how can we do that? We find people and we say, you know, it's just great when you know God. And we can start to say, can we pray for you if you're sick or whatever? Let's start to believe God. Let's start to believe that we have this connection with him, this anointing that is going to really actually make a difference. We're to pray for it. The kingdom prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. First of all, connection with God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then there's this really amazing verse, which at first sounds really like radical. We're to take it by force from the enemy. Matthew 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of God has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. we're not meant to just be, oh yeah, the kingdom, yeah, yeah. We're meant to be like, we really want this thing. We really want to see God connecting with earth. We really want to see miracles. We really, do you know, signs and miracles, we're just part of the kingdom. We want to see them again. And I just think we need to seek God until we see these massive miracles happening as a matter of course. We need to get in his presence and say, Lord, you know, you've given us the power and authority. Show us how to use it. Show us how to use it. We need to know. God wants us to take this whole world back for him in the power and authority that he has given us. The whole world. A few years ago, I was talking to God about something, and I was disappointed. Something had not happened the way I thought it should happen. And so I said, well, God, why did that happen? What, it was hard. It was horrible. Why did that happen? And before God could answer, I was trying to answer it myself. Do you do that? I do that sometimes. Just so I said, oh, I guess that's because we live in a fallen world. And immediately the Holy Spirit said to me, don't say fallen world. This world has been redeemed. It has been redeemed. It has been redeemed. You know, Romans 8 talks about the whole creation groaning, waiting to be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. The whole creation just wants to know what it's going to look like when heaven does touch earth. It wants to see that. It wants to be released itself. We can do it. So all I just feel I want to do today is just to say it's so important that we start to think like kings. We start to know that everything is possible. We start to really know that we have been given both power and authority, that we really can make a difference. You young people, you've got your whole life before you. You can make a difference somewhere. You can do something amazing. I pray you will. I really pray you'll be released to be far more than the rest of us, to stand on our shoulders and to move forward and to make an impact on the world. We need to know that no weapon forged against us will prosper. Do you remember when the guys came back, the 72 came back from mission, and Jesus said, I've given you all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means harm you. It's very strong in the Greek. By any means, nothing will at all harm you. We're not just, I'm fed up of hearing people say, oh, I'm under attack because I did this. You should be the one doing the attacking. You know, why just expect that every time we step out and do something for God, the enemy is going to attack us and we're going to go, oh, you've attacked me. Get your word out, get your Bible out, and you tell him, I'm attacking you. You have no rights to do this to me. I am the one. I'm king in this area because God has said all authority, and I'm telling you, you have no rights over my life because I am a blood-bought child of God. I am a king in his kingdom. I am a priest under his priesthood, and I am going to make a difference, and I'm not going to be on the back foot all the time, every time thinking, oh, great, I'm under attack now. We are the head, not the tail, Deuteronomy 28 says. And God has given us these keys. In Matthew 16, he's given us the keys of the kingdom. So we can say, that's allowed, that's not allowed. We get to choose. We get to say, this can happen in my lifetime, that cannot happen in my lifetime. Praise God. We have access to all the resources of heaven. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, give us all things? Everything you need is found in God. Nowhere else. Look to him first for what you need. And we can go to anyone and everyone God sends us to and say whatever he tells us to without fear, Jeremiah 1:7. We are qualified. Now, I thought I'd finish writing this. And God said, you need to mention that we are qualified, that he has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of life. He has qualified you. And God said to me, there are people here, you say, I haven't got qualifications. I'm only this, I'm only that. Not in God's kingdom. He has qualified you. He has given you that certificate saying you are free. You are free to be a child of God. You are free to reign on the earth. He has qualified you. And I know that the enemy, the devil, he will come at you and he'll say, you're rubbish. You are rubbish. And you need to wave that certificate. I wave my Bible at him sometimes and say, you are not telling me that rubbish. You are not telling me that because God has chosen me. He has anointed me. He has qualified me. So this week, God is saying, go. Go in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. Go and bless someone. Go and be amazing somewhere. Go and make a difference. Go knowing who you are. You are a king under the King of Kings. There is no other king higher than him. And go and make a difference. He says, arise. Arise out of the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of God. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You can make a difference. You will make a difference. If you stay connected with God, you will make a difference, and I pray God will bless you amazingly, and that this time next week there'll be testimonies of what God has done in people's lives in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we are created in your image. We thank you, Lord, that you have restored that mandate to rule and reign over the earth to us, that you have equipped us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have given us everything we need. And Lord, just forgive us that so often we just live such paltry little lives and we don't see who we are in you, Lord. And I just pray today for revelation that will not leave these people, Lord. And if there's anyone here and you don't just know you're in God's kingdom yet, come and talk to me afterwards. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will draw you into his kingdom, that he'll set you free from what gives you small thinking, and he will give you a vision of what he has put you on the earth to do. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name, and may your word just go forth with power, Lord, and may you give us clarity. May you give us freedom and joy in your spirit this week. This is not a message that has meant to come with condemnation. This is meant to tell you, you're better than you think you are. You are awesome in God. You can do amazingly more than you can ask or imagine because of his power at work in your life. Lord, I just thank you and I pray that we will each know and experience your goodness, your power and your glory in our lives in this week in a new way in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure if you need prayer for anything at all today, we have an awesome prayer team who will be here to pray for you. I'd love to pray for anybody who doesn't yet know they're in God's kingdom. And be blessed. Tea and coffee there if you're a visitor over here. Thank you.